afternoon and welcome to GBAP Live, our weekly radio broadcast heard every Thursday afternoon from 3:30 p.m. to 4 p.m. here on www.radio1400.am. I am your host, Jean Brown, along with my co-host, Ms. Lisa Anderson, and we have our special guest with us this afternoon is Pastor Aaron Best. And he is one of our local pastors here. And we are going to jump right into our conversation. Welcome to our program, GBAP Live, Pastor Beth.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure being here.
Awesome, awesome. And so we want you to tell us a little bit about the services you provide as pastor. And where do you pastor? Here in Bridgeport?
Yes, I pastor at St. Matthew Baptist Church, and some of the services that we provide as reentry, providing identification cards, toiletries for individuals coming back out, counseling in regards to spiritual counseling, education if they want to go back to school and that nature. We also are trying to get a model going for entrepreneurship for individuals coming out of incarceration. So reentry is one of our biggest initiatives that we have at the church, and we are located at 126 Washington Avenue here in Bridgeport.
Awesome, awesome. So reentry means that the population could be male and female?
Well, at this time, it's just male. We are looking for some of our lay people, female lay people, to deal with the female prison population. But right now, it's just been a lot of men that has been coming to us. But we will, you know, we'll help anybody that's coming out of incarceration.
Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome. That's services that's well needed.
Thank you.
Here in our city. And as we look forward to expanding our scope of services at GBAP as well, we have behavioral health.
Yes.
So, you know, we can, any way we can
collaborate. We are going to be looking to collaborate on that issue as well. So, yes, I'm looking forward to that.
Right, right. So, again, we all come together to make it happen.
Yes.
Here in Bridgeport. So, what we're celebrating National Faith HIV Awareness Day. And we've been working on this for quite some time. When, and all of this is leading up to our virtual conference that's coming up on Thursday, August 27th. And so, again, you're going to be one of our panelists.
Yes, I will be.
On there. So we just want to talk with you a little bit about how do you create safe spaces and for congregation members who have probably gone through HIV or living with HIV. How do you, as a pastor?
Well, at St. Matt's, we don't allow any type of negativity. We don't allow anyone to be or feel that they are not welcome, no matter what their status is, gay, straight, black, white, green, purple. We don't, that's not allowed at our ministry. We have, there's an individual who is HIV positive in at our ministry. He was really afraid to come forward and tell me because, oh, if somebody in the church find out, they're going to leave the church. Well, look, I'm the pastor of the church. If there's a problem, tell them to come to me first.
Right.
We can't turn people away from the church because that's what's needed right now. People need to be in church, and they need to know God. They need to come to Christ. So if we're turning people away from church, what does that say about us?
As
clergy.
Right. And Lisa, you could jump in, and you can just we can just make this conversation a little bit more collaborative. That we are living in a place where HIV affects people of all faiths.
Exactly.
Right.
Yes.
And so it takes all of us working together in our faith communities to we know HIV is around.
Yes, ma'am.
Right. But what we're trying to fight is the stigma, the shame that comes with HIV. So if somebody who is living with HIV, again, that's a very private, confidential piece of information that we hold with integrity. Because if somebody comes, they're trusting you with it, right? And so this is a place that they find solace in the church.
Yes.
And so Do you include them in everything you do? Do you allow them to be a part of ministry?
Of course. I mean, I would not exclude them from anything. Mm-hmm. Listen, St. Matt's, we're still ground roots here, and all hands on deck.
Yeah.
So all hands on deck, no matter what, yeah. We need you to help out. We're gonna put you in a position that we see that you feel that you can work in. We're putting you there.
Right.
No.
I
yeah.
Think that when we talk about HIV and we talk about stigma, something that you just said that kind of struck me real funny. HIV is no different than a person with cancer,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No different than diabetes, no right. different than COVID-19, no different than... a person who's been incarcerated,
mm-hmm.
no different than the murderer, the liar, the cheater, the backbiter, the whatever, right? It's funny how we want God to have mercy for me,
right.
mm-hmm. but I can't have mercy for someone yeah. else.
Right.
I want all grace for me and no grace for anybody
mm-hmm.
else.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this idea of stigma... I expect from children, right? Because when we're in school and we're young and mm-hmm. we don't know no better, we, you know, we bully people based on our differences, mm-hmm. our haves, our mm-hmm. have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
But HIV, unless it doesn't have a look.
Right.
Right, right, right.
It doesn't have a look. So unless somebody, you know, there was a time when it used to, we probably could, you know, look at someone
right,
and without talking to them,
mm-hmm.
based on legions or, mm-hmm. or things, we might have been able to guess, I guess, you mm-hmm. know, or make
right.
false mm-hmm. assumptions. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But then we do that with other illnesses
with
too.
Other yes. illness, right. You know, so it becomes one of those things that says particularly... If we are people of the faith, mm-hmm. right, there is no illness that we can take and put to the side and say, God doesn't have a cure for
that. Right,
me.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love is mm-hmm. a cure.
Right.
That's right.
God is love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We say we love God. So how can we love him who we have not seen? Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
How can we do that? So mm-hmm. so I just find all of that, all mm-hmm. stigma, this idea of this perception, this propaganda
mm-hmm.
of stigma to have a space in our vocabulary.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But I also feel, I also know that a lot of people who have are living with HIV mm-hmm. and they can't find the church as a place of refuge.
Right. Yeah.
So they always find it a place of ridicule,
yeah.
a place of stigma,
yep.
a place of distress
mm-hmm. yep.
where they go. And so now they suffer in silence.
Yep.
Instead of being out there and be able to communicate with people living in the community, because HIV is, there's no cure for it,
mm-hmm.
but it's manageable,
yes.
just like diabetes,
yes. right, right,
just
right.
like yes. high blood pressure,
right.
yes.
you know? And
yes.
so we want them, we want people, this is what we're trying to fight, the stigma that comes
mm-hmm.
with it.
Mm-hmm.
How do people treat me because I am living with HIV,
right, right.
you know? And so when they come to the church, what are you preaching from
mm-hmm.
your
mm-hmm.
pulpit about
right.
HIV?
Right.
And so we want to get into the meat of HIV. A lot of times when we go into the church, we talk only about prevention.
Yes.
But we don't talk about the person who's living with
right.
it, right?
Right?
So that's what the church is. And many churches have turned us away. Because they don't want us to come in the church with talking about HIV. Because it's immoral. Right? And so it's because of something you did
mm-hmm.
while you are living with HIV.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you're cast, we're casting you out.
And that's a group of the population that the church is missing.
That's right.
And those are the ones who have church hurt.
Exactly. They're wounded.
And those are the ones that are the ones that are church hurt will group all clergy and
exactly.
all churches. Well, they don't want to hear from me anyway.
That's right.
That's what, once again, that's one thing at St. Matt's. We're trying to break through all this. Mm-hmm. You know what? You've been hurt by the church because of whatever your situation is. Come on over to us. We got plenty of room for you with us.
Right.
You know, and that's what we should be doing.
Right.
And so who are you? Who are you to actually push somebody away because of? When I read in the Bible, or when somebody showed me in the Bible where Jesus pushed somebody away, then I'll do that. But until then, our doors are open to everybody.
My God. And I think a lot of people out there,
as you see, it's really
heavy.
Just sorry about that.
We're just passionate. But that's what we need. We need the passion. We need the compassion. We need empathy. We need
the things that
Christ has had for us. You know, and it becomes that thing. Like I said, people, I think sometimes we get caught up in, we'll say what we believe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And what we believe, we make the standard thereof.
Right.
Right. And I tell people all the time, you know, the standard for me is my Bible. It may be something different for you, but that has laid a foundation for me, right? That have principles and things that I can live by. I've tried them to know that they are tried and true. And even in my frailty of being human and failing at times, it has been a correction for me, right? Because I haven't always felt the way I felt.
Right.
Right? So in my ignorance, you know, Jesus will give you some act right.
Sure will.
Your ignorance, he'll make you walk this thing out.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes that thing that says, you can't want something. You just ought not be some kind of way.
Mm. Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because whether it's HIV or whether it's something else, one day, right, if we live long enough, it says if you haven't endured a storm.
Live long enough.
Live long enough.
Right.
Right?
Right.
If you haven't endured some pain, live long enough.
Right.
And the same compassion that you would want for somebody to give to you, that should be that compassion that you express to someone.
Right. Exactly. Right. And we know, and you're at your church, and you are, as a pastor, is HIV friendly.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a lot of work. GBAP has done a lot of work with you.
Yes, we have.
In regarding to HIV in our communities. And a lot of what we've taught, a lot of the education and the awareness have really led people to houses of worship. Because in their lives, they go, we need God.
Yes.
You know, because we know only God is going to give us a cure for this.
That's right.
And now, you know, HIV has filtered so many different, you brought that up, so many different religious beliefs that they have, whether it's morality, whether it's something that it's a sin that you have to live with, whether it's you do, we know we have to do something to in order to be infected with HIV. And it's not always sex, you know. So we have to be careful how we stigmatize other people because of behaviors.
Right. And that's the first thing they want is, oh, it's because of sex. You got HIV because of sex. Sex, sex. It's not always that.
It's not always that. Yeah. Right. Right. There's some people who are living with HIV now who can tell you stories about their lived experience.
Yes.
And so I'm gonna put this question out there. Do you believe that shame related HIV stigma is tied to, and we just talk about this, to other people's belief and how it affects those who are living in the church?
What I believe is that, give me that one more time.
Because people, a lot of people believe that HIV, the living with HIV is a punishment, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of stigma surrounding HIV and how you're living and you coming in to the church and how you're going to be, you know, you sit over there, I sit over here.
No.
Because this is, you know, it's a punishment that you're living, that you're that the reason why you're living with HIV?
No, I do not believe
you
that.
You say that, and I'm going, so is domestic violence a punishment?
I don't believe that it's a punishment from God. I do not believe that it's a punishment from God by you, the way you lived or your lifestyle or what have you. That's not of my belief.
Mm-hmm.
I can't accept that. When somebody comes in, and for example, and I do have all right to disclose that this individual is a member of my church, but not their name. So I have
gave
me permission to do this.
Mm-hmm.
He's it with everybody else. He's not segregated from anyone else. A little sidebar here. I know what it's like to be pushed aside or segregated against everyone else because of the color of my skin, because of my dark complexion. So I know what it feels like.
Mm.
So why should I put that feeling off on somebody else? Those are the ones that I champion for.
Mm-hmm.
So no, my disciple is not pushed aside.
Mm.
He's right in the mix of everybody else.
Right.
And no, it's not a punishment from God.
Yeah.
I've heard this from pastors from in the South. It's a punishment from God. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
That's your belief. I'm sorry, but that's something I can't subscribe to.
Yeah.
So then my high blood pressure is a punishment for God from all the candy or whatever else that I've eaten.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or this individual's cancer is a punishment from God by the way he or she lived their life.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you want to just pick on one disease and magnify it to make it comfortable for you?
Mm-hmm.
That's not how it works.
And you're
going to passion again. You know?
I think that love and you alluded to that, Lisa, love, compassion, care. If we do that to everybody, we're doing the least of these.
Yeah.
We are doing it unto.
But
our,
see, we don't know how to love and have compassion for somebody else. We don't know how to do that until you are in a position where you want that love and compassion and it's given to you and you know how it actually feels and you can dispense that to somebody else and say, you know what? I know how you feel.
Wow.
We may not be going through the same exact thing, but I can show you compassion.
That's right. That's right.
Y'all gonna start all right. Here.
So right here, we find that at the intersection of love and faith and HIV, we're going to experience healing through all of that. So we'll be right back with more of GBAP Live right here on Radio 1400.am.
Did you know you can reduce your risk of COVID-19 infection by staying at least 6 feet apart from others? Remember, facial covering is not a substitute for social distancing. So if someone is coughing or sneezing within 6 feet of your space, your risk for COVID-19 gets higher. Always cough or sneeze in your arm, avoid touching your face, and wash your hands for at least 20 seconds with soap and warm water. Dry with a clean towel. If hand washing is not available, clean hands with alcohol-based cleaner or wipes with a minimum of 60% alcohol concentration. For more info, please contact GBAP at 203-366-8255 or visit www.ct.gov/coronavirus.
Welcome back to GBAP Live. We're having a lively conversation with our guest, Pastor Aaron Best. And so we're talking about creating safe space and sacred spaces in our congregation for those who are living with HIV. We have a virtual conference coming up next Thursday, August 27th, and it's about faith and healing with those who are living with HIV. Our theme is Faith Lights the Way to Healing. You are uniting faith communities in the fight against HIV/AIDS stigma. So, welcome back to our to GBAP Live. So we know people who are living with HIV have the immoral behavior, the thought of immoral behavior, as people will describe them, like you talked about some pastors and their beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of them have avoided, and that's, you know, you mentioned your disciple, how much involved he is in the church.
Yes.
And a lot of people who are living with HIV, they have avoided involvement
right.
in the church because of what people think of them.
Yes.
And because they're not visibly ill, because we can't, right. HIV doesn't have a look, it doesn't have a face, because now we've progressed so much into medications that you people are living 45, 50 years healthy with HIV. So it doesn't have a look.
Right.
So, but if people suspect, and you know, there's always talk with people because confidentiality is a thing, is not a thing anymore. And so, They may members may regard them as again immoral, right? And so again, we get the church hurt.
Yes,
they're humiliated.
Yes,
they experience the judgment and the shame and the blame. What would you say to that person who's causing that?
Well, once again, I don't have that at my church, and what I mean, like, you know, when you're a parent, you say, "I don't have that in my house. You guys aren't doing that around here." What I mean by that is, I try to tell the congregation to, you need to accept people for who they are. If I want them to police themselves and not tattle, but if you hear somebody talking about another person for what you, oh, this one has this, or, oh, I think this one, bring it back to me. Let me address it. And I will call that individual and we will sit down and we will have a conversation about, what did you hear? And I would make it correct for you. Here, let me tell you the correct thing. Let me tell you what's actually going on. No, it's no one else's business in the congregation about this individual. However, he came to me because he liked the atmosphere at the church. And I think we got a pretty good atmosphere going on over there.
And you preached over there.
Yes.
Yes, yes I am.
And you know, because of that, that makes people feel comfortable and want to be where they are. And it's not just for the individual who has a sickness, but it's if you're going through a divorce and people are chattering about it, you know, and the man or woman don't want it, don't want any, that's included. This is what I try to teach my congregation. Respect other people. Do you want somebody talking about you behind your back? If you don't want somebody talking about you behind your back, don't do it to somebody else.
Right.
It's St. Matt's.
Let the golden rule do unto others.
St. Matt's, we are trying to be as real as possible. You don't want somebody doing something to you, don't do it to another individual. If you hear something and it's, you don't, it doesn't feel comfortable to you, come and talk to the pastor about it. I will definitely take care of it for you.
But again, like we were saying offline, fear, right? Dealing with false evidence that appears real.
Right?
Yes.
Fear.
Yes.
Your lack of knowledge of something. You know, if I sit next to a person with HIV, is it going to jump off on me? If I drink out of the same water fountain, is something going to jump off on me? If I go to the bathroom behind, find out the facts.
There you go.
They'll set you free. You know, we as a people, when we don't know something, we have the proclivity to make
it
up the rest because we don't want people not only to not know that we don't know something, we want to appear smart in all things. So we'll make up something before we say we don't, it's just something we don't know.
Or sometimes we do that to cover our own weaknesses, you know?
That's true,
You know, sometimes we tend to do that. And if we, I put that out there about somebody else, but the focus, the emphasis will be off of me.
Right?
And sometimes we tend to do that and cause hurt and harm to other people's self-esteem, their self-confidence. And Just elaborate on this one more attention I want to just bring to this conversation is that a lot of times, and as we talked about when we go into churches, we mainly talk about prevention. And so we don't talk, but we talk about prevention, but the pastor will also talk about abstinence and fidelity, right? Among women, and most of this is geared towards women. And so,
true that.
Right? I mean, you know, it's geared towards women. Because, so
What are your thoughts on, well, at St. Matt's, what we were going to do before COVID hit, we were actually going to have two series on HIV and AIDS, and it was going to be done by Reverend Anderson. We were trying to get all that taken care of, but COVID hit, so we have to restructure that. We are looking to have an individual that have the knowledge and that may even be HIV positive, him or herself, to lead a ministry in HIV and AIDS, so that it is out there for everyone to understand and to know about.
Well, we'll talk more about this next Thursday, August 27, where we're a virtual conference uniting faith communities in the fight against HIV/AIDS stigma in their congregation. So, Pastor Best, thank you so much
for
stopping by.
You're very welcome for having me.
And my co-host, Ms. Lisa, thank you.
Thank you.
Love conquer stigma? And that's what we want to talk about. That's what we want to find out about next week as you join our panelists on our virtual conference.
I'll be there.
So thank you all for tuning in to GBAP Live. We'll be back here next Thursday at 3:30 p.m. as we continue our conversation, Can Love Conquer Stigma?